Hi, I'm Carol Sliwa, senior writer with TechTarget Storage Sites. Joining me today is Arun Taneja, founder and consulting analyst at Taneja Group in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. Arun will be speaking with us today about hyperconverged storage. Arun, what sets apart hyperconverged storage, or a hyperconverged system, from converged infrastructure?
Converged systems or converged infrastructure is taking the fundamental pieces of compute, storage, networking, and server virtualization from different companies, possibly, and bringing them together and making them operate as closely as you can as a whole. So in other words, the vendor that will put that converged infrastructure unit together will perhaps put a management layer on top of it and a variety of other things to make the deployment and the management of those four pieces easier. Hyperconverged storage or hyperconverged infrastructure, hyperconverged systems, different terms being used, meaning the same thing. That essentially means that one vendor has taken it upon themselves to build an entire infrastructure and put it in a box. So it not only has compute and networking and storage and server virtualization in a box, but it would also have other elements like backup software, like snapshot capability, like data deduplication, like inline compression, like WAN optimization. They've essentially taken all of the various pieces that make up a traditional infrastructure in the market today and put it in a single box. That is very different than converged infrastructure, which is really three or four separate pieces that are brought together, but they're still distinct in their own rights. Whereas in a hyperconverged environment, you don't see any seams. It is entirely seamless.
Arun, what products fall into this category of hyperconverged storage?
By my definition, there are three products that are available in the marketplace today that meet the criteria that we've established for hyperconverged storage. You have Nutanix, which is considered to be the granddaddy of hyperconvergence because they were the first to market and they're the pioneer. Then you have Simplivity and Scale Computing, which is really focused at a much lower level of the organizations. I also think in terms of vSAN or virtual SAN from VMware, even though it may or may not meet all the criteria of hyperconverged storage, I think still essentially from a customer perspective would be viewed as hyperconverged storage. But I can also say that almost all of the major vendors that have servers and storage and networking sort of all available as part of their total arsenal, that they're all looking at producing something that would be considered hyperconverged storage. So over time, I think a lot more possibilities would exist. But at the moment, I would consider the four that I mentioned to be prime examples of hyperconverged storage.
How much choice do users have these days with hypervisors for their hyperconverged storage?
The starting point for Nutanix, for example, was VMware. So that is the predominant install base for Nutanix today. But Nutanix also made an announcement that they now have Hyper-V based offerings. Simplivity also started with VMware, and that is fundamentally their offering today. I do expect that Simplivity, like Nutanix, will add additional hypervisors, but whether it ends up to be KVM or whether it ends up to be Hyper-V, I don't know. Then the third one, Scale Computing, actually is distinct in that they are KVM-based from the very beginning, for very good reasons, because they're targeting the lower end of the market, which is very price sensitive. And KVM, of course, is open source and gives them that lower price point. And virtual SAN for VMware, by definition, is VMware only. The customer will have one choice.
Is hyperconverged storage generally associated with commodity hardware?
The answer is yes and no. And let me explain why. Today, if I look at it, Nutanix is based on commodity hardware, Scale Computing is based on commodity hardware, and Simplivity is based primarily on commodity hardware, but they do have a very specialized ASIC, which is designed for very fast inline data deduplication. Simplivity obviously determined that the only way to do inline data deduplication without impacting the application performance was to actually have specialized hardware to go with it. So today, the answer is a mixed answer. However, I do believe that as Intel compute capability continues to increase, and we've seen the Moore's Law apply for the past 3 decades, why wouldn't it apply moving forward? At some point in time, it would not be a big deal to really see all hyper-converged storage be commodity-based, because ultimately, I think that is the objective. One of the primary reasons customer would want to go to hyper-converged storage is lower prices that are demonstrated by commodity hardware.
In what ways, other than hardware, do hyper-converged storage vendors differentiate themselves from each other?
Look at the starting points of these different vendors, and you will see where they have done exceptionally good work. Take, for example, Simplivity. The roots go back to data deduplication for them. And so they kind of started with that premise that when the data is created, the data should be deduplicated and then kept in that condensed format through its entire lifecycle. That had become a hallmark of their differentiation. Now, granted, they did that with the specialized hardware, but they excel in that category. Some might have better WAN optimization between two separate sites. Someone else might have better replication capabilities. Others might have better snapshot capabilities. All of these hyperconverged storage vendors produced what I call VM-centric solutions. In other words, you don't deal with LUNs and volumes anymore. You basically deal with VMs and decide what VM is important. And then all the storage and all the networking and everything happens behind the scenes automatically. So how efficient those things are clearly becomes a point of differentiation. So there's a wide amount of differentiation, but you will not be able to tell that without looking deeper.
What are the limitations of hyperconverged storage?
All of these disparate technologies, for example, data deduplication, compression, WAN optimization, backup, snapshot. Remember, most of these things grew up almost in separate companies. There were companies built on data deduplication alone. There's separate companies built on WAN optimization alone. And when you do a hyperconverged system, you're really bringing all of those technologies in one box. So clearly, each of these elements may or may not be best of breed in the traditional sense of the word, but the value of bringing all of these together in a hyperconverged format cannot be understated. A lot of customers I know would actually take a little bit less of the individual elements from a best of breed perspective because the combination makes their life significantly easier than it is today.
For what types of organizations and what use cases does hyperconverged storage make the most sense?
Hyperconverged systems are really capable of taking on just about any application that exists in the environment. And in terms of the size of the organization, there's no particular reason why it is not usable by small organization, mid-size organization, or the largest of the large organizations. However, since the primary purpose for the hyperconverged systems is to manage a virtualized environment, those applications that are running on physical infrastructure would probably want to stay on the physical infrastructure. So other than applications running in physical infrastructure today, I don't think there's a particular application that cannot be brought over on a hyperconverged infrastructure.
Thanks, Arun. That concludes our podcast on hyperconverged storage. We appreciate your listening.